For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Connor. So I guess not technically as always. Trevor's not here.
I mean, you're always joined by me.
I am always. Never mind. It's just not. I almost said joined as always by Trevor, and then I realized.
Nope,
not unless Trevor's grown a ginger beard.
He has been working on it. We've been talking about it. I've been giving him tips. Lots of carrots.
No, he's not here. He probably won't be here for the next few weeks. He's at home with his wife prepping for the arrival of their new baby. Mm-hmm. So send some well wishes to them in the chat. And by the chat, I mean the comment section.
What are well wishes?
We're not live. It's basically like you're hoping their well does
like
well.
Flip a coin in the well for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're going to kick it off with a little Patreon question of the week. We have the All-Star Weekend to recap everything that went down there. We're going to do a little Trevor's trivia, but I'll do it. DGN announced new packages, and we're going to announce the Manufacturer's Cup. So you're not going to want to miss this episode. But first, we're going to kick it off with a little Patreon question of the week. This comes from patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf, where we have our Heiser Club mailbag.
So much fun.
Each and every week, basically, people ask us anything and everything, and we answer all of it. We try to pick a disc golf question for Grip Locked, but if you are interested in the non-disc golf stuff, that goes down over there too. Again, that's patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. You can actually join and get a 7-day free trial. So
it's a lot of hypotheticals and us reading way too into stupid questions.
Yeah, I also just posted this past weekend on Saturday, so you'll get access to all the previous posts as well. I posted a video walkthrough of our new space that's being built out currently. So if you want to get a little behind the scenes look at where we're moving to in just a few short weeks, you can head over there and you can get a little sneak peek at that too. So lots of behind the scenes stuff goes up on there. But this is from Josh Alcock. He said, I want to know your worst possible pitch to get people to play disc golf. And by that, I don't mean short. Give me 3 sentences at least. Example, you get to spend a lot of money on new discs every week. So basically 3 sentences that are true about disc golf, but will make someone never want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Grow the sport. Courtesy of Josh.
Mine would be along the lines of, do you want no one to really understand what your hobby is? And whenever they finally do understand it, after you explaining it, they're not impressed by it and they just think you're weirder, then you would love disc golf.
I think I'm going to go with, I'm going to just stick to the same vibe I went with on the mailbag, which was basically, do you ever go to a park and you see people and you think, man, those people are really weird right now, you know, I want to avoid them at all costs? Well, to join them, all it costs you is $15 at a used section, and you can head out and be the weird people in the park. Hashtag keep disc golf weird.
Yeah, be the weird people in the park.
Yeah, I think we said we were gonna make merch.
Yeah, we do. We kind of want to make a t-shirt that says like, we're the weird guys in the park, but also I'm not sure that'll land.
Be the weird you want to see in the world.
I love that.
Yeah. I think Gandhi said that.
Yeah.
So this past weekend was the All-Star Weekend, Disc Golf All-Star Weekend. There was a lot to take in. First off, the results. We'll just go there. Team Missy and Team Isaac took it down, which I think was our predictions. I know Team Isaac was our prediction. He had all the sleepers. No shock, they took it down. Team Missy, I can't remember if we took Missy or Owen, but I think we took Team Missy. So Missy and Isaac take it down. Weather was gross. Weather is awful. So FPO played doubles 18 holes Saturday morning, but then every other round was just 9 holes. So the MPO doubles in the afternoon, and then FPO and MPO singles on Sunday was all just 9 holes. But even the singles, they did like a 9-hole safari layout and just played it twice, which was kind of weird, I thought. But weather is gross, so looking at scores, you can't really take too much in. So Katrina Allen, the skills competition was Friday, and you had a mix of people who were all-stars and a mix of people who were like coming in just for the all-star event. The skills competition was like as fun and exciting as you can make it.
Yeah.
The distance contest, electric, right? You had Anthony Barella won with like a 715-foot throw.
Mm.
Crazy. I believe the FPO, I think Eliezra Mittling won with like an over 500-foot throw for FPO, something like that.
Wow.
So distance contest, fun. Putting, meh. I mean, it's just tough. You can't really make putting exciting. I think it's what they keep running into.
It is very true.
And the same thing with the accuracy. Accuracy, they just had a tee pad, and then they had like basically four or five mandos you had to make. So one was like right of the tree. One was a little bit less right. One was straight. And then one was like a forehand, basically. And you got points based on how close you were. It was tough. I think it actually got flagged on YouTube because they were playing copyright music in the background. You could softly hear
sucks.
It. I tweeted, I forget what it, I said something along the lines of like, what does my Friday night consist of? Oh, I'm just watching a bunch of disc golfers putt with Pitbull playing softly in the background. What about you? Because it was just playing I forget what the song, Hotel
also
Lobby.
Also a great way to describe disc golf to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was like the Hotel Lobby, I think is Pitbull's, that song. But that was what was playing in the background. And the fact that I could hear it enough to recognize it doesn't surprise me that YouTube could hear it enough to recognize it and that it got taken down. So that was interesting enough. But yeah, the skills competition kind of was what it was. I think they'll always struggle to find a way to keep everything entertaining except for distance, because distance is fun. Like, it's cool to watch people throw.
Just throw as hard as they can.
Yeah. But one thing that was interesting was Katrina Allen kind of popped off in the putting competition, which prompted a tweet that was within 24 hours. Maybe it wasn't 24. I guess it would have been 48 hours regretted by me, which I said something along the lines that she might be back this year after watching her putting. I was like, is this signs of things to come? I think is exactly what I said. And then she shot the worst score in singles by 4 strokes. Yeah.
Dang.
So now again, it was disgusting out there. Players weren't motivated.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like no one really wanted to be there. And on top of that, they were all just getting dumped on in the rain. So you can't really look at the scores that much.
Yeah.
But it was upsetting. She shot 14 over through 9 holes. The winner was Holland Handley at 3 under through 9 holes, which they were going head to head. So like the spread there didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
It just mattered, which I think Katrina Allen was up against Allie Smith, I believe. So it didn't really matter that Holland shot that much better, but a little upsetting to see Katrina struggle out there. MPO, there was a lot of rust out there. Mm-hmm. Saw a lot of, during doubles, we saw, I think Ricky was paired up with, who was Ricky paired with? Calvin, maybe? I don't know. Whoever Ricky was paired with, maybe it was AB, but no, it was definitely AB. A lot of missed inside the circle putts, like two or three in doubles, which was shocking. Again, though, it's the weather and just general, like, players that didn't really care. Which is the thing everyone struggles with the All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
We just had the NBA All-Star Weekend was this past weekend. And, like, I don't know if the All-Star is a really cool idea, right? Of, like, you get to honor the players that had the best season, or, like, in the NBA that's, like, the current season.
Mm-hmm. But there's no dunking in disc golf, so it's
there
just
is.
Less fun.
Now, Tour Life did put out a tweet and said that basically the dunk contest was electric for the NBA. Should there be a trick shot contest for disc golf?
I think that would be the closest like similarity.
Well, the problem is a dunk at the end of the day, a guy can just go up and dunk.
Yes,
he's gonna dunk
that
it.
Is very true.
A trick shot,
they're going to be able to do what they're attempting.
Yeah, a trick shot, like at the end of the day,
that could be really boring.
Yeah, you will most likely have, like, let's just say it was Brody Smith, Simon Lazat, you get in, I don't know who else you would get in, but you get like Gannon Burr and like one more guy, you get a Chris Dickerson out there, right? There's a real chance that none of them make a trick shot.
Yeah,
like you could have a 30, like each of them get 10 attempts at like a trick shot, and there's judges. There's a real chance that like the only shot that goes in was a 30-foot putt that someone threw with their last one, and like that's that. But it would at least be interesting. But when it got to the All-Star game, I fell asleep during the All-Star basketball game last night because like, it's just no one cares. Like everyone's like, it's an honor to be an all-star, but no one cares.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing substantial on the line. The NBA has like money and stuff, but everyone that makes it to the all-star game is filthy rich. So like,
it's not really making
that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
the disc golf, where disc golf's at, like, you could put money on the line and make players care,
mm-hmm.
but then you're taking money away from purses,
yeah,
which would be more. So I kind of walked away from this weekend like, why? Why does the All-Star Weekend exist? Because like it was just like it just it took what was a really like I'm super excited, and we'll get into some of the other stuff that went on as far as like coverage and stuff. But like, I think it was the mixture of the rain and weather, and then just kind of the like lack of care from players, yeah. which I think a lot of it had to do with like we wouldn't be practicing today because of how nasty it is out, yet we have to come play for something that none of us super care about.
Yeah.
It just like it just took your excitement going into the season and kind of deflated it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of just let the air out for me, because now I'm like I'm less excited for chess.com next weekend than I was before this weekend.
Mm.
Just because I like I don't know. It just I'm sure once chess.com comes and then there's like some energy in the air, because it also with the rain, like no one was out there watching it.
Yeah,
there was like no spectators.
It was also just not really fun to watch.
Yeah,
people just, play in the rain.
There just wasn't energy. There was like no energy. It was just flat. And so that it was just kind of a letdown of a weekend.
There's just like some things that disc golf does where they like they know that other sports do it, so they try to do it, and it just doesn't quite translate to disc golf. And I would say that this is probably one of them.
I think what we should do is drop the name All-Star, mm-hmm. and just if you want to have a kickoff event and you want to honor the best players of last year, two good things, then let's just do a like just do like a match play bracket, and like the top 10 or 12 people come in, right? Maybe you do the same fan vote, so you have like the top four and then the next four fan voted. You rank them 1 through 8, and then number one plays 8, 2 plays whatever,
yeah.
and you go down like that, and it's just a match play bracket. It's just a one-day exhibition thing, and I would just do it, maybe do it the day before the chess.com, like the kickoff tournament.
So well, then and that's perfect, like, because if you do match play, you get all the things that they're trying to put in the All-Star event. You're going to get people throwing crushes because they're trying to get closer to a hole than they typically would, because they're just trying to win the hole. You're going to get people throwing trick shots because their score doesn't matter. It's match play. And you're going to get people trying to make crazy putts.
Well, that's the other thing I don't understand here is like they put people head to head. So like your score only matters against the other person you're playing against,
mm-hmm.
but then they have them keep score instead of just doing match play.
Yeah.
Like they have it be a match play environment. But then they're like, your score matters.
Yeah.
Which it got exciting because hole 9 was a like multiple stroke swing hole, a very tough hole. But match play does bring in a little bit more of the all-starness, where like all-star game last night, for instance, you had Damian Lillard just pulling up from half court for no reason,
mm-hmm.
because it's the all-star game.
Yeah.
He hit him. Electric. Now it's all mm-hmm. over social media. That's a very fun moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the disc golf thing, like, you aren't going to have Gannon Burr or someone, which I know Gannon on in doubles, they'd already lost. They like ran a putt as hard as they could. But like in general, in a close match, if you and I are playing and you put it under the basket and you have a tap in for your three and I'm 250 feet out for my three,
mm-hmm.
my only hope is to run that.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I miss that, I lost.
Mm-hmm.
So like you bring in that like more electric running and energizing thing that at least creates a highlight environment. So I would like to see it be match play, but like,
and also it sounds like it's not as much of a time commitment as for the players, so I feel like it'd be easier for them to get into.
That's what, to me, if you do it like I said, that maybe the day before the event, and it's just a one round match play bracket where, you know, you go through and it's like a 6-hole matches. So, you know, you have everyone, and everyone would play with 8 people. You'd go 8 down to 4, down to 2. So 6, 12, 18
mm-hmm.
holes would be it. So, yeah, one round. And then, boom, you're done. You have the match play championship champion going into the year. If you want to call it the All-Star champion, great. And there you go. It gives you still the opportunity to test stuff, because, in my opinion, I think that's why the All-Star Weekend exists, is so DGN can get all their kinks out.
Yeah.
And boy, were there a lot of them this weekend. Mm. So they were struggling with, I would assume a lot of it came from this new, they like transitioned the back end, what they're hosting everything on. The app, I'll say, looks better. When I went on my TV, before you were forced to type in on your TV. Like I was forced to type in my email, type in. Now I can actually do the login on my phone. Huge plus. I just type in the code. That was something that existed on pretty much every other TV app, so I'm very happy that that now exists on DGN. It was also streamless seamless, I think is what I was trying to say. They're streamlined for me to...
Like, it's streamless. There was no stream.
There was no stream. Yeah. Well, that was a different problem. when like you can only have two devices signed in at once. And before, what would happen is like you would sign in, you have too many to sign in, so you had to sign all of your devices out and then re-sign it. Ticked me off every time.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can go on my phone and I can see what signed in and I can remove one. So like for instance, I was signed in on my phone and I was watching it in I was watching the coverage in our bedroom while I was putting laundry away, mm-hmm. while my son was napping, finished putting laundry away, wanted to go watch it in the living room. Mm-hmm. So I turned my TV off, walk out into the living room, sit on the couch, turn that TV on, and it's already signed in. And it's like, you can't play this because too many devices are signed in. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to log it all out. But then it just said, pull up on your phone and remove a device. So I was like, oh,
nice.
So I pulled up my phone, removed my TV in my living, in my bedroom. Boom, it works on my living room TV.
That's awesome.
So that was like, there was a lot of like benefits I saw that, that were happening. But the only problem I personally had was Saturday morning was supposed to start at like I think it was 8:30, but the stream on DGN was scheduled for 9:30. So I tried watching it at like 9-ish. I turned it on and I couldn't get any coverage. Even though people were like talking about it, I couldn't get any coverage. So I was like, this is frustrating. So I tweeted a picture. A lot of people were having the same problem. For me, it just started working at 9:30. Like when that 9:30 point hit, it started working. It never stopped. And it worked the rest of the weekend. I didn't have any buffering issues. I didn't have any, it didn't kick me off. The quality was fine. You know, as good as it, you'd expect it to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was frustrating how the weather was gross, but like that wasn't, they couldn't control that.
Yeah.
A lot of other people did not have the same experience as I did. There was a lot of people tweeting, just ticked off because like every few minutes theirs would, they would buffer and it would kick them off. There's people that like couldn't watch anything. There was people that paid for access to certain stuff that like didn't get it. And so there was a lot of angry people on Twitter, which rightfully so, if what they're saying is true. I, the only, the tough part is like, that wasn't my experience this weekend. So like I had one problem, I tweeted about it. They kind of told me how to fix it, but it kind of fixed itself. And then I was golden the rest of the way. So again, I don't think it is a huge, huge deal as long as it's fixed next weekend.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think anyone's really paying. Maybe some of you are at home, but in my opinion, no one's really paying the DGN subscription to watch the All-Star event.
Yeah.
If you were, I'm sorry. But next weekend is like, you got to have your crap together. So I think that's the whole reason this All-Star weekend exists, is so that they can try to get all these kinks out to a much smaller audience. But yeah, it's going to be, now they're under a very, very bigger, much bigger microscope going to next, because now they've already had what everyone kind of expected, which is like, the Pro Tour seems to overpromise, underdeliver, and it seemed to have happened again. Of like, oh, you're going to be able to replay stuff, which I could. I went back again. For me, it worked perfectly. I had no problem. For everyone else, it seemed, or on Twitter, it did not seem to go that well. To where like some people were upgrading to get, like they're going from their free package to $12.99 package, and they were still being told like, you don't have access to this, and they're like, what the heck? I just paid.
Yeah.
I should have access. So like, there was a lot of frustrated people online. They got a week to figure it out, but it, that's what it seemed like this weekend. Now, the other thing that was put into practice this weekend was the PDGA Live. Phenomenal. It went, it was basically UDisc. They did what they, they did what they should have done, which is they gave us everything we had from UDisc, and you could tell that they are working to add new stuff.
Yeah.
So if you go and look at it now, they, when players would tap out, they would say the exact feat it was from. Now, how exact can that be? Who knows? But it at least told you like from 5 feet, from 22 feet, from 19 feet. And what that did is now you have a like total distance of putts made during it. They were able to have that stat, which is a really cool stat.
That's
because if I'm throwing the disc really well, I might, and you, you know, aren't throwing the disc as well, but both of us hit 100% circle one putts, our previously our stats would look relatively similar when we realistically had two different rounds. And that can, that can tell a lot about like what's the next round going to look like, because if all of my putts were from 5 feet and my, so my total putting distance for the day would be what, 90 feet basically if all my putts are from 5 feet, but if all of yours were from 30 feet, you're gonna have 300 and who knows, you're gonna have like 500 some foot of putting distance or something crazy like that. That, my math is probably terrible there, but you get the difference to where like we had two completely different rounds, even if our scorecards look the same. And it can be like, wow, Connor's actually having a really on weekend putting and I'm having a really on weekend throwing. So then if to the next day my throwing's off a little bit, You know, and your throwing doesn't have to be on for you to score as well. It's just a more fun stat. Whenever you have more in-depth stuff,
yeah,
it's more fun. So, and then times they were, the volunteers were able to update, like, not only do they have a circle one look for birdie, they have a 25-footer for birdie, which was also cool to see. Mm. Again, not make or break, like, super important. It's just good to see they gave us what we had with U-Disc.
Yeah.
And they took a step of, like, what else can we just add that's not going to do anything more to the volunteers? And we were able to see, like, shot by shot with PVJ yeah. Live, which I was worried about before. We were able to see a lot of stuff that I was worried about. And so I was impressed with it. I think it went well. And hopefully next weekend. So this was just like the PDGA Live. Next weekend's the beta test of the actual PDGA's like new scoring. So hopefully next weekend it works just as well as it did this weekend. But overall, DGN slips a little bit. PDGA Live didn't really slip. So
that's awesome. That's good to hear, because I was a little bit nervous about that, just knowing how well U-Disc Live worked.
Yeah. But
that's cool.
Now, like I said, next weekend's the beta of whatever their new thing is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's promising mm-hmm. that it looks like this, but we'll really know next week. And all of this is like just like preseason, figure stuff out. Next weekend's like, you got to have it all working.
Yeah.
So I think Sal just died. I don't know what just happened. The other storylines that I got from the All-Star weekend were kind of stuff that were brought up during commentary. First, Owen Scoggins is apparently only at about 70% from her injury. So she's still hurt out there. And the other one was exactly what we had all feared, which was Brian was starting to describe Gannon Burr's bag, and he basically described it as being full of collectible rare runs that people had sent him.
Oh, no.
Which is exactly what people didn't like when he was at Prodigy. So basically, to throw what Gannon throws, you have to head to collector pages and not the retail store.
It's just not a good choice by Discmania.
No,
to allow that to happen.
I put that tweet out there of, like, I said Discmania when they hear Brian describing Gannon's bag, blah, 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 and it's just like a dude sweating, like freaking out.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were responding, like, well, that's what people did with Innova Hunter. Like, what? But the difference is,
you can buy that Innova disc still, even if it flies a little different.
Exactly. An old T-Bird or an old Rock is still a T-Bird or a Rock.
Mm-hmm.
An old MD3 is literally a different mold.
Yeah.
Like, that's where the tough part is, like, it's under the same name.
And a different manufacturer of plastic.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, sure, they're both MD3s, but, like, a modern MD3 and an old MD3. There's a reason Gannon's throwing the old MD3.
Yeah. It's a different company.
Yeah.
I really feel like they should view it as that, because it's just not good for business.
No, this is what we
were... It's also not fun. I don't think it's fun to watch either, because I know that that's not accessible to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, who cares? It doesn't matter what pros throw. Look, as a retailer, I can tell you, you're in the minority there. When we see a pro drop a new disc that they actually bag, and they're the ones hyping, i.e. Simon Lizotte, Timelapse, Simon Lizotte, Pixel, right? Paul Macbeth, Zeus, Luna's, you know, Paige's Passion. Like, when a pro, because, like, you can even see, let's look at Paul's line, right? Paul, when the Zeus came out, he, like, hyped it up a bunch. It was in his bag. The Luna, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Hades was marketed as, like, hey, I'm not really going to throw it, but you all might like it.
Yeah.
The Malta is in and out of his bag, right? Mm-hmm. But the ones that Paul's behind a lot more, the Zeus and the Luna and the Onyx and the Athena, like, those are, for us at least, his staple molds that fly off the shelves.
Yeah.
We have a hard time keeping those on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for Paul, the Hades and the Malta, which he doesn't throw nearly as much, they sit on the shelves. They sit on the shelves a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a pro is regularly talking about a disc, but also showing you it regularly in how they play, it is more, it's more, the common people want it more.
Yeah.
Because they're seeing it be used.
That's
by
why
pros.
They use celebrities and commercials.
Yeah. And so, like, that's where the tough part is, like, now I see Gannon throw an S-Line PD2 that is clearly an Innova S-Line PD2. That makes me want an Elixir from Innova. That doesn't make me want a PD2.
Well, and to go with what you're saying as well, with we want what the pros are throwing, it's also because who are the people who are the best at this game and therefore probably know which discs are the best to throw because they're competing at a high level with them, probably the pros.
Yeah.
Like, the pros know more about which discs are flying nice than I do.
Yeah.
And so it makes me think, if they really love a disc and really love the flight of the disc, even if it's not, even if I know it's not going to fly the same way for me, I can trust that that's a good disc because this pro is winning with it, or they're enjoying it while they're on tour. And so it's a good reason to buy a disc, because obviously probably if they make a disc, or they are sponsored by a company that makes a disc and they actually throw it, then you know it's good. And with Gannon, unfortunately, and if you don't see this, I think it's blatantly obvious. He doesn't think the new discs are good enough.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
That's the message he sends.
That's 100% what he's saying. And so that's the big problem, is that they just sponsored a player who's saying the discs you're making aren't good enough.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw another company that says your name on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a bad move.
To me, again, it's Discmania's fault.
And also makes me trust Discmania's new discs way less, because Gannon won't even throw them.
Yeah. And then to me, that should be rule number one in contracts, if you're Discmania to me, is you don't throw the end of a made stuff.
Yeah.
If it's end of a made, it's not Discmania.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact now.
Yeah.
Like, it might have the Discmania logo, and I get that's where they are coming from, but like I was saying on debate night, right? Discmania now has a chance where Eagle McMahon was the last, like, figurehead of the old Discmania.
Yeah.
You had Simon, Eagle. Like, back in the day, you had Simon, Eagle, Avery Jenkins, Paul Macbeth, Eric Oakley, Nate Sexton. They were all throwing Discmania.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are now. Right? Eagle was the last one of those chips to fall, which Eric Oakley might still have some in his bag because he's open bag sponsored. Mm-hmm. And Avery Jenkins throws Discmania, but he's not on tour. Mm-hmm. So Eagle McMahon was the last, like, face of it, right?
Yeah.
Because Simon's gone. When Eagle left, to me, you now have this new young core that is, like, Kyle Klein, sure, has, like, transitioned with Discmania, but he is just now becoming super relevant.
Yeah.
You now have Gavin Babcock, Alden Harris, Gannon Burr, Nicholas Antela. You have all these guys now who you have a chance to rebrand, not genuinely, like, change your logo, but to rebrand how people perceive Discmania,
mm-hmm.
and have all of them back this new plastic. So instead of everyone thinking of Discmania and thinking of the glory days,
mm-hmm.
you can make this the glory days now.
Yeah.
The key there is they all have to buy into the current brand, and they all have to buy into the new plastic. And by the way, obviously I haven't seen Gannon's bag, but by the way, Brian was describing it on live coverage. It doesn't seem like that's happening with Gannon.
Yeah.
And to me, that means if I'm Discmania, I'm now stuck in this where everyone's going to be thinking the best Discmania plastic's behind us.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good if you're trying to grow a brand.
Yeah.
The best Discmania plastic needs to be ahead of us.
Yeah.
If you want everyone excited to throw your plastic. So
I think the reason,
I don't know.
I think the reason why I get so passionate about it and why it bothers me so much is because historically, I am such a Discmania fan.
Yeah.
I, like, my bag was majority Discmania back in the day whenever it was in of a Discmania. And I love Discmania. I love the brand. I love their marketing. I feel like it was just really clean. Made you feel cool whenever you took a Discmania disc out, just because it was, like, simple and sleek. And I loved all their players, everything. Discmania doesn't attract me very much anymore. Just their new stuff doesn't attract me. I don't feel interested in it. And I think I was really hoping that Gannon going to Discmania was going to make me excited about it.
Yeah.
And it's not, because, again, he is publicly saying their new stuff isn't good enough for me to throw because I like the old stuff better. And that's what bothers me so much, because I'm not going to get invested in a brand that's not moving forward. And ironically, it looks like the company that's reinventing their game the least is Discmania.
Yeah. That's why I used that line on Discmania on debate night, because I thought it was so funny. I was like, it's time for Discmania to reinvent their game themselves.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm right with you. You know, the MD3 through and through has been one of my favorite discs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I bag the new MD3s.
Yeah.
But I just accept that they're not the old MD3s. Mm-hmm. Like, I accept I'm going to need an overstable mid, because I'm not going to find a new MD3 that's nearly as overstable. When the newer MD4s and stuff come out, sure, I'll look at those. But, like, I lost my train of thought. But anyways, their new plastic, like, they have a chance, and they still have a chance with Gannon, with Alden, of, like, get some of the active line, get some of the evolution line. Because, mm-hmm. like, a lot of those molds are good.
I think their discs are good.
The method is great. The essence is phenomenal. The instinct's really good. Some of the active line stuff, especially, like, the Shogun.
Mm-hmm.
And then their new stuff, like the new FDs, the new PDs, the new DD3s. Like, there's a lot of really good discs.
Yeah.
Now, is it the end of a plastic that we all know and love? No.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. That's okay. Lean into that. Just accept it. Like, to me, end of a made Discmania is not Discmania.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, until they accept that, Because it's also tough because, like, the guys running the company,
I'm sure they have their heart poured in that stuff.
Yeah. Like, Dana Vici, who's, like, one of the main guys at Discmania USA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he, you know, had the, I think he had a signature CD2 back in the, like, he's an old Discmania guy through and through. You know what I mean? So I'm sure it's tough for them, too, because, like, they know just as much as all of us how good their old plastic was, how good their old discs were. And so I'm sure that's also a tough part, too, is, like, you got to close a chapter of your whole life and open this new chapter. But, like, you got the perfect opportunity right now. And when I heard Brian saying that, I was like, they're dropping the ball.
Yeah. Because their discs aren't worse than other companies. Their new discs are really good. And I think the plastics feel really good. But if a company doesn't inspire me, I can find a disc that flies really well. I can basically find that same disc at another company that I think is more fun.
Well, because that's the problem. So. We literally saw this with Prodigy, right? Of Gannon. Loved the Bowling Green D3s. Mm-hmm. So did Chris Dickerson. So people loved the X1s, but it was always the old Prodigy.
Yeah.
Everyone loved the Mac and Cheese M4s, the Proto M3s. It was all old.
Yeah.
So what did that lead to? It led to a brand that had a super high performing team of Isaac Robinson, Gannon Burr, right? Even Kevin Jones, Ezra Robin, you have a super high performing team that's underwhelming sales wise.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. The lawsuit definitely had stuff to do with that, but it wasn't like the lawsuit changed how stuff sold. It wasn't selling before.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a company that is putting out really decent plastic nowadays, especially like their really new stuff feels incredible.
Yeah.
It's some of the best Prodigy I've ever felt.
I agree.
I've played with old Prodigy. Mm-hmm. I was on Team Prodigy back in 2018 something. I was on Team Prodigy. When I was on Team Prodigy, first thing I did was try to get my hands on the old Prodigy because that's what every team member was telling me you had to do.
Yeah,
we've seen this. It doesn't work with that company.
Mm-hmm.
Discmania has a chance to change that before it's too late, because if you keep going down that road, you'll end up with Prodigy. That's what you'll end up with. Is everyone's going to want their Bowling Green D3s will probably be Innova made PD2s and stuff. Like, that's what you're going to end up with 5 years from now. That's what everyone's going to want. Everyone's going to look to. And as a company, you don't make money if people are going to Facebook to buy your discs, because that disc you made and already made your money on 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You make money on the new stuff. So if you want to keep innovating and keep growing, like, people have got to fall in love with the new plastic. And I'm worried that Gannon is going to fall in the trap that he fell into with Prodigy of only liking the old stuff, because it's really easy to do with Discmania.
Well, he's not worth... on paper, he's not worth as much if he's not pushing plastic.
Correct. Yeah. So. That's the end of the day. That's just how it is. Because, again, it's only certain companies like that where, like, if he went to, we'll just use Innova again. If Gannon went to Innova and he fell in love with the old T-Birds, there's, like, San Marino rocks and you can get to, like, Ontario rocks. You can get to different things. But at the end of the day, a rock's a rock.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, a T-Bird's a T-Bird. The problem you come into is a Bowling Green D3 is not the same as the new D3. Yeah. Old MD3, an old PD2 is not the same. Literally, it's a different mold.
It's a copy.
It's a copy.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the problem you get into there is, like, if he went to Discraft and fell in love with a really old beat up Buzz, still a Buzz.
Yeah.
Like, a Buzz is a Buzz is a Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's the problem you run into there. But, all right, off the soapbox. I just heard Brian saying that, and I was like, oh, no.
Our hearts are just so sensitive to, like, old Discmania that this whole thing is just, it's just hard for me to talk about.
Yeah, I know.
Or really easy for me to talk about, I should say.
Yeah, it's tough. But, all right, let's hop into Trevor's trivia. So, Connor,
yes.
I'm going to pull somewhat of a note out of Trevor's book. I'm only going to use brands that I know you know.
Okay.
Okay, so it is not going to be a brand you've never heard of.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm going to give you a new named disc that just got approved sometime in the last few months, and you just tell me,
like, what it is,
what company it came from.
Oh, what company? Okay, but I know these companies.
I'm not gonna, like, for instance, there's this one company, Ripper, that just came out with the Flame Skipper.
Oh yeah, I've got
the
four
Flame Skimmer. I'm not gonna give you that. Okay,
all right.
That way, they're also, side note, when I looked at this, Stokely Discs just got two discs approved. Don't know if that's tied to Scott Stokely.
Surely.
He got the Cardinal and the Wren approved. So I don't know if Scott Stokely's getting into the disc game, but
I think we just need to claim it. Say breaking news right now.
Yeah, Scott Stokely into the disc game.
Yeah.
Either that or his brother or someone has started Stokely Discs. No, I have no idea.
It's gotta be Scott.
I tried going on his social media and, like, I can't Can't find anything.
Can't find social media.
No, social media is gone. No, I just can't find anything about Stokely Disc. So who knows? Maybe there'll probably be an announcement that comes out after this. But yeah. All right, this first one, Connor.
Okay.
The Drive.
The Drive.
What company makes
Finish Line Discs?
Good guess. It's actually Discraft.
Oh.
Yeah. They just got it approved. Yeah. It does not line up with anything you would have thought. I would imagine that this is going to be if I had to guess, this is a Paige Pierce disc. Fierce, yeah. Passion, Drive.
Oh, for sure. You're totally right. What do you think it is?
Well, let's look.
Maybe a mid? She doesn't have a mid.
She doesn't have a mid. Looks like a driver.
She doesn't have a distance driver either. Maybe it's
look like a distance driver. Mm. Rim thickness is 2.1 centimeters. I think that aligns up with a distance driver. It looks like a flip-up distance driver.
What if it's like the Hades that like everybody loves?
That'd be sick.
But like not the great Hades.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
That would be sick. All right, this next one's the Zone GT Banger Top. I'm just kidding. That did get approved, though, February 19th.
All right. We won?
What? The Banger Banger must have won, yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, great job, everybody. Welcome to the Bang Zone, ladies and gents. You know what? No, you know this one too well. All the XUFO molds just got approved.
Ah, okay.
The Timu discs.
Yeah,
they all just got approved.
Suck.
Okay, I'll give you this one. The Spore.
The Spore. Cool name. It feels I'm getting either like Streamline or MVP vibes, or I'm getting Lone Star.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm going to go with Lone Star.
It is actually Discmania. Wow. I thought you might have got this because we have two of them on my desk over there, and you just felt them up like last week.
I did not know that. Well, I think the problem is I heard Spore, and what my brain was telling me was Spur.
Ah,
like
that's fair.
In the desert.
I think those are technically the Cloudstone, I think, is what they're stamped, but their real name's Spore.
Okay. How do you spell that?
S-P-O-R-E.
Spore. What does that mean?
Is it like a mold spore? I don't know. I'll Google.
I just don't know what that is at all.
Spore is...
Discmania's names could mean anything. They've got so many different names.
Typically a minute, typically one-celled reproductive unit capable of giving rise to a new individual without sexual fusion, characteristic of lower plants, fungi, and protozoans.
So it's like a...
It's a biology thing.
So it's like one of those organisms that reproduce on their own.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A haploid reproductive cell which gives rise to a gametophyte.
What's that called?
That's botany. And the microbiology definition is a rounded resistant form adopted by a bacterial cell in adverse conditions.
Spore. I don't feel like they know what that means.
I don't think, yeah. I don't know. It didn't really make sense.
That's not a good name.
All right, here's your next one.
The new Discmania, dude. It's just not the same.
I'm going to give you... I'll go with three more here.
Okay.
This first one we're going to go with is General.
General. That's got to be Dynamic Disc, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, that one fits right into their line.
Yeah.
This one is Prince.
Prince. I like that name. I do. It's very proper. I feel like it could be, I'm going to go with Mint Disc. Nah. I'm going to go with Hooligan Discs.
Hooligan. It was Westside. Westside already has the King and the Queen.
I'm so stupid.
Yeah, they now have the Prince.
I forget that Westside exists. I'm sorry.
Discmania did get the PD2, the new PD2 approved. So,
oh,
it's exciting.
In my head, Westside is just still Dynamic Discs. It's just like,
that's fair.
It just is.
Final one here, and then we'll move on. The Ozone.
That has got to be MVP.
MVP? Locked in?
I'm going to go with Trash Panda Discs.
Yes!
Nailed it. It was Trash Panda.
Who told you that? Like, who did you get that information from? Aren't they?
They did go dark. I think this came out before they went Nocturnal. Okay. Yeah, okay. Before they went dark. I subscribe to their Patreon.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I get all their information. They're not dark over there. So, DGN came out with last week their new packages. There's their 2024 live media plan. So, the DGN's excited to announce its live media plan for this season, which will feature several new and upgraded functionalities thanks to DGN's recent migration to Insys Video Technologies. as a network's primary technology service provider and enhanced partnership with Amazon Web Services. Beginning today, the DGN will offer three subscription packages, the basic, the standard, and the pro. Each subscription package offers different content offerings featuring features and additional benefits for those who opt for the yearly payment option. However, all subscription plans have access to upgraded platform features, which is live DVR functionality on all devices, 60 frames per second streaming. Tell them how big that is.
It's such a big deal.
Instantaneous playback, which that is a big deal. The instantaneous playback and the DVR, those are both really big deals. And full access to DGPT Europe live broadcast for standard and pro. So their packages essentially, I think there's a graphic down here. So there's three packages, the basic, the standard, the pro. DGN basic, $5.99 a month or free if you have a PDGA membership. Standard is $12.99 a month or $5.99 a month if you have PDGA. Pro is $20 a month or $12.99 if you have a PDGA. So the plans here, basically the free one. So if you're a PDGA member, the basic, the free model, or $5.99 if you're not, you get the first round of all pro tour events and select majors, and you get full coverage of the chess.com invitational coming up this week, USWDGC, Champions Cup, the final two rounds of Worlds, and the MVP Open. So you'll get some coverage. Again, that's $5.99 a month, $60 a year, or free if you're a PDGA member. So if you're a PDGA member and you want to give the DGN a test, this weekend's your chance to do so. You can just sign in, basic, get the chess.com invitational a try. Make sure you like it before you upgrade to the $12.99 a month base price or $5.99 a month if you're a PDGA member, which that gives you full coverage of all DGPT events and majors, excluding the European Open and the USDGC. That kind of sucks. It also gives you select bonus features and whole broadcasts. You get Tournament Central on all three packages as well, though. And on the standard, you can have two devices.
What gets you USDGC then?
So that's the pro. So also in the standard, you also get Jomez coverage ad-free. So you get ad-free Jomez on there.
That's cool.
And a select Jomez extra content. Now on the pro, which is $20 a month for base or $12.99 if you're a PDGA member, you get full coverage of all events and all majors, including the European Open and USDGC. You also get all bonus feature hold but broadcast and alternate commentary streams. And you get all-day coverage plus bonus streams. You can have three devices. You get Jomez extra content, Jomez ad-free. And you get ad-free live coverage, round one only. Now, what they show during when we cut to commercials, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
That's a good point.
But hey, you get ad free.
It's just commercials for the PGA.
Yeah, it's just that's all it is. And you get their monthly newsletter, an exclusive monthly newsletter, and two free general admission tickets to a DGPT event if you have the pro.
That's kind of fun.
Which I think the pro, you that's the yearly benefits. If you have a yearly, you get two free tickets to a pro tour event. So that's cool. This was met with, you know, mixed emotion, mixed reaction, because I think last year it was that if you were just a DGN subscriber, which was just $12.99 a month or $5.99 a month if you're a PDGA member, you got access to pretty much all of it, the like USDGC and stuff. So now on those months, you have to go up to $20 a month. I mean, so here, outside point of view, right, this is how I would work it as a PDGA member. I'm going, for us, we just pay the standard all the way through. We'll probably upgrade to pro for European Open and then go back down, but like, realistically, you could go as a PDGA member free this month because you get the chess.com invitational next week. That's it. Waco starts next month. Then you can go to standard and just ride with standard from now until European Open weekend. And then I would upgrade to $12.99 for the European Open month. And then I'd go back to standard all the way through till USDGC. And then I'd go to pro just for USDGC month. That's how I would do it. I'd basically view this as I have to pay $7 to watch European Open and then $7 again to watch USDGC. That's how I kind of view this. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about all of it in general. I'm team DGN because obviously I'm team Pro Tour. So like I want the Pro Tour to make money, right? And I want them to be around for the long haul. I think they do a lot, and I understand that that has a lot of costs associated with it. But $20 a month,
yeah, that's
for
crazy.
The top tier is like,
Whenever you're in like 12, that's like, okay, that's
even, I mean, but even $12.99 a month,
still more than Netflix.
$12.99 a month, if you're, like, let's just assume the majority of people that we want to watch disc golf, right? There's millions of disc golfers, literally. Mm-hmm. UDisc has that data. There's millions of people that play disc golf, okay? There's not millions of PDGA members.
Yeah.
So let's just wipe the PDGA price from our mind,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because that's asking people to pay $50 a year. So let's wipe that from our mind.
It's wiped.
$12.99 a month just to watch live disc golf.
Yeah.
Because, like, the tough part is, here's to me what this should look like. If we want to have...
It does suck. You can't have any casual viewers.
Like, if we want to have live disc golf be behind a paywall, okay. Let's make it $6 a month for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then let's have the $12.99 a month tier mm-hmm. have some of the, like, additional content, but, like, I'm going to just be straight. I don't think anyone cares about the additional content.
Yeah.
Like, we're paying to watch live disc golf.
Yeah.
That's it, realistically. And, like, I understand wanting to add the, like, they had, like, the on tour. They have, like, different podcasts they do, all of that stuff. Like, as a company that doesn't have podcasts behind media walls, you can make money off podcasts, doing them on YouTube mm-hmm. and selling ads on them and stuff. You can do that just fine. So, like, I don't think you have to have them behind DGN. I feel like they're getting caught up in, like, okay, well, if we're going to ask people to pay us $13 a month, what can we do to make that value worth it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, but realistically, you're asking people to pay $13 a month when all they care about, realistically, is the live tournament coverage. So, I think if you were to just offer the live tournament coverage to everyone at $5.99 a month and just cut your costs on everything else, because, like, it costs money to pay people to produce podcasts, to mm-hmm. pay people to edit all this extra stuff, to pay people to go out and shoot all this extra, trim the fat, get rid mm-hmm. of all of that. We are just doing live disc golf and that's it. Cause also I know they're worried about, well, the off season comes, right? It's a subscription model. You have to understand how humans work to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You're going to lose some people when mm-hmm. October rolls around and you finish the last Pro Tour event of the year. Majority of us are going to forget.
Yeah.
Hand up. I've never watched anything outside of the DGN live coverage,
mm-hmm.
and yet I've paid every October through January. Why? Because, like, if I'm paying as a PDGA member $5.99 a month, yes, is it technically worth my time to go do it? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like a hassle because you notice it once the $6 hit your bank account, and you notice it then, and you're like, oh, I got to go on and cancel, and then I have to remember to re-up in February, and just, like, it feels like it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, it was only $6. You're mm-hmm. not doing the math of it. It's like, oh, well, you know, it's really $20 this whole off season. That's just how the human works with subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of us forget we even have subscriptions.
Yeah.
Like, you pay for stuff. Like, I've been paying for the gym for Planet Fitness for over 2 years for my wife and I, and we've went a total of 0 times during those 2 years. 0. Why? Because I got to drive to the mall to cancel it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's $20 a month for 2 years. That's $480. Like, when you look at it that way, you're like, Hunter, dude, just get in your car and drive to the mall. But, like, I don't think of it until the $20 into my bank account. Like,
and that's then how, you have a whole month to deal with
and
it.
And then I got a whole month of, yeah. like, well, I'll get to the mall eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to the mall, and I'm like, I gotta walk all the way to that door. The food court's right here.
That's how I was with our movie passes.
Yeah.
We'd like, so, it'd be like 2 months go by of us paying for it. Like, we haven't seen a single movie.
That's how subscriptions work. That's why the subscription model is so good. So, just, mm-hmm. In my opinion, just let people forget you exist October to February.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to keep putting stuff out. Just let us forget. No, thank you. Like, forget you exist. Most of us are going to stay on
mm-hmm.
and just try to get as many people to the $5.99 a month. Cause, like, what I feel like is happening in disc golf right now is I feel like people within disc golf are like, we have a bunch of disc golfers. How do we make as much money off of them as possible?
Yeah.
So they're raising the cost of DGN, you know, all this stuff. How do we monetize them as much as possible instead of being like, okay, we have all these people paying $5.99. How do we get more people to pay $5.99?
Yeah.
To me, that's the model, right? Mm-hmm. That should be like, how do we get these casual people, or we offer it for free, and how do we get live viewership from, you know, 10,000 people to 40,000 people?
Yeah.
Like, that sounds crazy. It's not. Like, there's so many people that watch disc golf content. To get 40,000 people to watch a live stream, like...
Well, and also, again, you're not... With what's going on right now, you're not getting any casual viewers. Someone who's, like, interested in disc golf. I've got a lot of friends who just got into disc golf this past year, and they love playing.
They're never going to watch live.
Yeah, they're not going to spend $12 a month to watch live disc golf, but they would watch it if they just had access to it, of course, because they're like they want to get into the sport more.
Because then if you're able to grow that, if you put it for free on YouTube and you're able to grow, or if you want control, put it for free on DGN even, and you're able to grow it to 40,000 people watching concurrently live, now you can make up on advertising revenue way more. Because right now you're asking an advertiser to spend a lot of money for not a lot of return.
Yeah.
And realistically.
And you're really usually just getting disc golf sponsors.
Yeah. Well, because I'm a call like
outside sponsors.
I'm a call like I see it, right? Right now, the sponsorship value in the Pro Tour is a goodwill sponsorship value where 90% of people paying to sponsor in the Pro Tour, there's two fields. There's people who are fooled into thinking that they're going to get a great return on their money. There's a small portion that do get a good return on their money. And then there's a large portion of advertisers who have enough money to throw around and they just want to keep the tour alive.
Yeah.
So they're doing it almost as like a charitable donation.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a long-term successful thing.
No.
Because eventually, if these manufacturers, for instance, they're one of the big ones who are going to sponsor everything that comes out. If they eventually are like, you know what, you know, it makes more sense for our bottom line if we don't become the presenting sponsor of 10 tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we stop spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to be present, we're just going to pull that.
Yeah.
Now the tour is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Just poof, just like that, because of a few decisions, because like you're not able to provide the value that you're asking of people because you don't have the eyeballs, because to get the eyeballs, people have to pay $13 minimum to get on there.
Yeah.
I don't like that long-term play. I think this is a short-term, let's try to get profitable quick play. And I think it's going to end up biting them in the butt long term.
And I know that disc golf is just far more professional than it was even 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Far, far, far more professional than it was 10 years ago. But we have to remember that still, the thing that gets everybody into disc golf is how accessible it is and how cheap it is.
Yeah.
And it's like at the end of the day, the people who get into disc golf, it's super fun. It's super fun. But what gets you into it is it only takes a frisbee and maybe a car to get to a park. Or a buddy with a car. And so I just feel like trying to hike up these prices for like this premium like live coverage experience, it just doesn't, I don't feel like they're doing a great job advertising to their actual audience.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be interesting to see as things go and as things grow. But I mean, the key here is they got to be able to deliver on what they are promising. The people who pay $20 a month, like they better feel everything that they've been promised is worth it. Because if not, then you're going to shoot yourself in the foot a lot more, because you're going to get people to eventually buy into live coverage just to say, ah, screw it, Jomez was better. Obviously, the Pro Tour owns Jomez, but end of the day, you're able to get, in my opinion, you're able to monetize live better because you have people watching a lot longer, so they're going to see more ads and you're going to have more eyes. You're able to monetize live as someone in content a lot easier than you're able to monetize a 20-minute recap video of a tournament, basically. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. All right, final thing I want to talk about going into this weekend. The disc golf or our Grip Lock preview show will be happening Thursday for Chess.com Invitational. So if you're ready, you're ramped up, ready for the season, and you want to know all the storylines, everything that you want to hear going into it, join us on Thursday. We'll be publishing the first preview show of the year. We're super excited. We're actually going to be bringing in Joe Henderson to cover FPO for us as well. We're super excited for the start of the season. It's going to be very fun. We're going to do that for every Pro Tour event and major all throughout the year. So be sure to stay tuned for that. But another thing we're going to be tracking now that the season's coming, we're going to finally do it. We're going to bite the bullet. I used to hate it. I kind of like it now. I'm team, you know, maybe disc golf needs this. So we're going to track it.
I like the open mind, Hunter. I don't even know what you're going to say.
The Manufacturer's Cup.
Oh, yes.
We're going to do it. So what we're going to do for this first season of it with Grip Locked is we're just going to straight up steal the Formula One points. So Formula One has the Constructors Championship, the Constructors of the Car Championship. We're going to have the Manufacturers Cup, the Manufacturers of the Disc Cup. So we're just going to take their model.
Uh-huh.
And so how they work is basically the top 10 places, top 10 finishers driver-wise for them earn points normally towards their individual standing and towards the Constructors Cup. We're just doing it towards the Manufacturers Cup. So basically, the top 10 finishers in MPO, we're only going to do MPO this year just to see how it works. Top 10 finishers in MPO earn points for their sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Then the end of the year, sponsor with the most points wins. That simple. So first place is going to get 25 points. Second place gets 18. Third place gets 15. Fourth place gets 12. Fifth place gets 10. Sixth place gets 8. Seventh gets 6. Eighth gets 4. Ninth gets 2. 10th gets 1. That's how it works.
Love it.
So if Discraft comes in first, second, third, they get 25 plus 18 plus 15, which all of the math wizards in the room already know that's 58 points. I did math. I'm proud of that
one. Wow.
But that's how it works. So
you're like a triple S wizard.
Yeah.
Super stupid soft.
I'm trying to get to that quadruple S.
Yeah.
Super stupid silly soft. But that's how it's going to work. So we're going to track that this year. I know people have tracked it in disc golf before. So we're not breaking ground and being the first to ever do this, but we're excited to follow it and just see, you know, maybe this is something disc golf could use.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is a team sport after all.
Maybe.
Probably not, but no. I think it's going to be fun to follow and know which team's going to be the strongest at the end of the year. So we'll update the standings of that every Monday on Monday's episodes of Grip Locked after the event happens. So on Thursday, which will be just the day before the live event, we'll predict kind of what we think is going to happen, give you all the storylines. Then Monday is going to be the recap show of what did happen and the updating of the Manufacturers Cup and the updating of our top 10 rankings, which we'll also keep track of throughout the year.
Hmm. Do you mind if I give another answer to the Patreon question of the week?
Yes.
I enjoy to throw frisbees in the park, but not play catch. So I like to play fetch with myself in the park with a frisbee, and I pay $21 a month to watch other people play fetch with themselves in the park.
There you go. Nice. You want to join Connor? Welcome to Disc Golf. All right, it's time for Silas's selection. Wrap up the show.
Is that this right here?
That's the top box there. Ooh. What disc you think's in there, Con? Good old Silas selection.
I think it's a trilogy disc this week.
Okay. You had to name the disc.
I know.
Can't just... you know what? I'm feeling Discraft. No, I'm going to go MVP made.
I actually, like, legitimately know for a fact that it's actually a...
I love watching Silas watch us answer this.
It's a Felon.
A Felon?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Raptor. I was feeling Raptor.
Both
I don't
overstable
know why.
Approach or fairways.
Oh, it was a dart. We were so close.
Totally guessable, too.
Yeah, we were so close.
This is probably the closest we've been so far.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? Trevor lives on.
Yeah.
We have to get it before Trevor comes back.
That would be awesome.
We
or,
have to.
Or we'll just lie to him. No, we don't lie.
We don't lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll probably just lie to him. Nah, we have to get it before he comes back. That'd be incredible. But all right, we'll see you Thursday on this channel, the Grip Lock channel. Thanks for tuning in, by the way. If you haven't subscribed, this is on a different channel, so if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We'll see you on Thursday for the Grip Lock preview of the Chess.com Invitational, the start of the 2024 Pro Tour season. It's here.
Who's ready to watch some chess?
Get riled up. Let's do it.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.